podcast is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Yeah, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those are
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. I heard a comedian talk about him and Michael J. Fox. You know, the world, something's wrong with the world when Michael J. Fox is all screwed up and Ozzy's fine.
Let's go.
Hey, you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock the Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, RootaRooRadio.com, BuildTheScene.com/radio, AltRockRadio.ca, and 107.1 FM St. Louis, Missouri. With me tonight, co-hosting, is John the American Hill Jack Lane. What's up, John?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
This is 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. People are starting to think I'm not a recluse. That you're ruining my reputation, Bill.
With us tonight, band-wise, are four members. There's 10, I think 10 of them. Is that right?
No, there's only four of us.
In the band?
Yes.
Oh, what band was I talking to?
Yeah, we just make it sound like
that was
10
that was Slipknot.
That was Slipknot.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody recently that had 10. Anyway, so four members of the band. The four members of the band Across the Dawn are with us tonight. Now that I've screwed up right off the bat. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Not much.
How are you doing?
So why don't you each introduce yourselves and tell us what you do in the band?
Okay. I guess we can do it in the order of the length of time we've been in the band. So my name is Josh. I sing and play guitar and do a whole bunch of other stuff.
And they're all going to leave you hanging now.
Is that it? That's all. Josh does more than that. He's created most of these songs from over 10 years ago in the making. And he does a lot of the programming and synths and loops and all kinds of stuff. Josh is one of the main writers of the music, if not the main. I'm Sean. I play guitar and the synth, and I do a little bit of backup vocals.
My name is Justin. I'm the drummer. I keep these guys on track, on time, on beat. I get to battle with the computer because the computer, you know, makes mistakes and sometimes gets off and I have to correct it. I'm just kidding. But the computer's never off. So our backing tracks, it's very important that I keep all these guys in time and keep the rhythm section rolling.
And, as long as batteries don't die.
Yes.
My name's Mike. I play bass and I play synthesizer. And I've been in the band for about a year now. And I've known these guys all for a real long time.
So I'm going to take a shot at John here for a second. And I'm going to announce it. John, I really could be your drummer. Did you hear how he described his job?
Yeah, you could. We can get you a sampler and just, you know, set you up so you can, you know, some tracks. All you got to do is hit a button and, you know.
I was referring to part about like about keeping you on track and where you're supposed to be.
Oh, keeping me on track? You notice we've gone through two drummers in a year, right? That don't work.
Yeah, well. Actually, if you count the fill-in drummers, isn't it more like four?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there is.
Five, because you have another one.
Wow. Yeah.
Surprised you guys found that many. Drummers seem to be a rare breed these days.
Yeah, most indefinitely. Being a drummer myself for 17 years till I got carpal tunnel, I understand. So it's driving the bus is very important. Yeah, you know, your rhythm section is everything. In my opinion, so I'm probably the most hard on a drummer and a bass player than I am, you know, the guitar player, obviously the front man, and I let him go to do what he wants.
Yeah, because he's you.
Okay.
Before we get too far off, let's get into the actual meat of this thing. So this first question is probably the most normal one that you're going to be asked tonight, and that's just, why did you pick the name Across the Dawn?
I'll go ahead and take this one. So basically, whenever we started the band, when we were forming this project, it started actually with my cousin, Johnny, and I. He's not in the band, but or any longer at least. But we were talking about band names, and I mentioned Across the Dawn, which was something I thought of a while before that. And what it meant to me was, you know, just thinking about what lies beyond that new beginning. Like if you're going through a struggle in life, you know, there's a dawn, you know, what's across that? What's waiting for you? So that's basically what stuck with us. And it it's kind of a representation of our music overall as well.
Cool.
So, nice. If you guys were going to go on tour, what would be the soundtrack that you were listening to between cities? What would be the thing that you were listening to keep you pumped up and, you know, keep you going? What bands, what songs, what would inspire you?
Circle of Life by Elton John.
Nice.
Definitely that song. It's inspirational. No, that's just a joke.
Oh, dang. See, I was serious.
I was actually serious, but I think
he's like, I don't know what I should say and what I shouldn't.
I was like, oh, crap. This isn't a good answer.
Pick up guns. Well, if I were to guess, I know I like a wide variety of stuff. I do like oldies and just stuff you'd hear on the radio passing by. But if I were to throw something out, I like Coheed and Cambria, but I'll even listen to like some Wu-Tang Clan or some Bone Thugs and Harmony. I know
some Cleveland's own Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Oh yeah, you're out there in Akron, man. You're out in the wild Midwest right now.
Which actually leads into a good question, because all of our interests in this band are very different. I think Sean is more of like, he's more into grunge music. Josh. We all have different music varieties, actually. I'm actually more into like more core metal, like I would say core metal to post hardcore. Like it's more of my style. Yeah, like just like anything from like Periphery to like new Bring Me the Horizon.
Bring Me the Horizon, yes.
I like some of their old stuff. But they're new. Yeah. I really, really enjoy like some of their newer, like now that they've like, I feel like that band matured and they kind of calmed down. But I really like their newer style of music for sure. But that's more.
It seems
my
like
days.
They found more of a focus that's, you know, going in the. It's gonna hopefully put their name even bigger than what it is.
Definitely, but that's kind of my style. Anything even the old like I'm like I even got into like Parkway Drive, like just like the whole.
Oh, I love Parkway Drive. Yes,
the whole or like 2004 like ish post hardcore music was a really big influence on me as far as music. But then he's at like, for example, with Sean, I feel like Sean is more into like Stone Temple Pilots.
Why don't you let Sean speak for
like
Sean?
That. Speak for Sean.
Smitty listens to Linkin Park and Linkin Park only. Sean listens to stuff like, I liked the early 90s new metal scene, like Deftones, early Korn,
nice.
Tool, Nine Inch Nails, the experimental stuff, you know.
Wait, do you play drums? Yes.
I play guitar.
Sorry. I was trying, John.
Yeah. You like those guys that paint outside that box that, you know, took grunge and took it to the next step.
Yeah, like, yeah. Know. I just like that. I don't know. It just has that kind of that beat and that just heavy riffing, you know what I mean? That just I've always been into that.
Something that really dug into people and got them moving again. And I totally agree.
Yeah. Deftones has continued to like change with each album. And I don't know. I've been really following them lately. So that's basically my shit.
Awesome.
So the soundtrack would be pretty varied.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. But what about you, Josh?
That's always a good thing.
Well, yeah, my musical taste is very diverse. I mean, I love like anything from 80s pop, like some Cyndi Lauper. You know, my first CD ever was Cyndi Lauper. Still, nice. that genre of music is still a big influence on me. I love, you know.
Josh, hold on for 1 second. John, the first album you ever bought, what kind of media was it on?
Oh, geez. I think the first thing I bought myself was 8-track.
Me too.
I honestly do. I you know, if I remember correctly.
Now the question is, do they even know what an 8-track is?
I do.
Absolutely. Jeez. Come on now.
Definitely. Listen, what an 8-track is.
We know. You always have to rewind it.
They've seen the shows on ancient history. Yeah, they understand.
On the VH1.
Mine was a disco album, and it had a Superman logo on it. That's all I remember about it. I bought it because it had Superman on it.
I can't even remember. I honestly think mine was the Mamas and the Papas. I honestly think that I bought myself. But my dad had such a collection of music. I didn't really need to.
So, yeah, John's dad was a drummer as well. Taught drums, correct?
Correct. Yeah, percussion.
Percussion, yeah. Okay, sorry. Go ahead and continue with your answer. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, it's fine. I feel that one of the core influences of my musical taste, though, is the 90s grunge. I love a lot of 1980s stuff like The Cure. I love Pink Floyd. I love newer stuff, 30 Seconds to Mars. My range is all over the place, and I love Deftones. You know, that's something that it's a band that Sean and I love to listen to when we go snowboarding and stuff, and huge influence on us.
The Deftones have such a real deep way of writing and playing that people don't give them enough credit for, I feel.
Yeah,
I agree to that.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about, you just had your CD release show last week. Were there any interesting stories or anything that might become legendary in the lore of Across the Dawn that you might want to talk about?
Well, I mean, I can definitely say that it was incredible seeing everyone come out and be so supportive. I mean, the two bands we played with, Gingerstone and All in Uniform, they were amazing. They're two incredible bands. We played almost our entire album. Had an amazing response. You know, we made a few mistakes here and there, but we just went through them. And I come to the realization that, you know, that's what makes the show so fun and so organic. Just making mistakes and just you just keep trucking through.
Yeah, and I gotta add, we were at Bar None, which is the best place to play in our area, Uniontown. Love Misty and the staff down there. They're always very accommodating.
Incredible.
So it's a great place to play.
Yes.
Yeah, they pretty much, like, Uniontown used to have all kind of places to play. It used to be like Mount Vernon, and there used to be tons of places to play music when, I feel like, you know, years ago. But lately, it seems like the whole music scene in many areas has declined. And they took upon buying a bar and solely having venues. I mean, they set it up. It is a rock show event, like, pretty much. I mean, they have other talent there as well. But, you know, basically a live music venue, which is really cool because, I mean, no offense to any type of different music these days, but I feel like that there's a lack of live, you know, rock concerts. So big appreciation for that.
The real venues out there are rare and far and few and in between. And so I empathize. And it's, yeah. And the name of this place is again?
Bar None.
Bar None, Uniontown, PA.
Yeah. Give them the props and give them the plug. Cause places like that need to be applauded and supported as much as possible.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can find them if you hashtag Bar None Fun. You can find them if you type just Bar None, it will kind of be confused in Facebook, but Bar None Fun.
There you go.
Yeah, we're proud.
All listen, check them out.
Yeah, we're and very proud to know we had our release show at Bar None. So it's great.
With your self-titled release, where can all of our listeners try to get a copy?
Actually, today I set it up on our website. We have an online store now, acrossthedawn.com/store. And it's going to be available on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere within the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Nice. So you're really hitting the whole market and with the attack that needs to be attacked. A lot of bands out there listening, this is the route that you need to go.
Yeah. All or nothing.
Yeah, take the initiative while it's all there. And, I applaud you guys for, doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's just a lot of people. I feel like, getting back to, the whole rock scene, a lot of people, I feel a lot of musicians-wise and people learning to play instruments are just kind of giving up. But, I mean, it's not the case. Like, there's still a lot of guys out there working very hard, putting a lot of time and effort. And, just to all those people, keep your dreams and a drive alive and keep pushing forward. There's a lot more creativity to be made out there with music.
So you guys sent me two tracks off of the self-titled album. Which one would you like me to play tonight?
You know what? Go ahead and play our first single that we released, Amaranth.
You want to give us a little behind-the-scenes story about that song before we play it?
Sure. So that song, I mean, it's evident in the lyrical content on what the song is about, but it's about beginning again, you know, even if you fall, even if, you know, something happens, it's not going to be forever. And there is hope that you can make it out of whatever struggle that you're going through. So we felt that was a very important song to open our album with. So it's our first track on the album.
And also a soon to be music video that I'm actually the drummer, Justin. I also do film and media, but I'm actually directing and producing our own music video, which is in the works as we speak.
That's awesome.
Very commendable.
When it's finished, make sure you send a link to me and I'll add it to the show notes.
That we definitely will. Thank you.
All right, so we're going to take a moment and listen to that track and probably one other song. I started to queue up what we're going to play this week, and John's not aware of it yet. So I have some new music that we're going to play. And of course, I don't have it pulled up in front of me, so give me just a moment. I have you know what? I think I'm going to play the Borstal Boys.
I love those guys. Seeing those guys for the first time at the Sidebar, you can't get a more powerhouse. You know, you got some of the guys from Rusted Root, you know, one of the most famous bands out of Pittsburgh from late 90s era. So phenomenal.
So. Well, we're going to listen to Don't Let Life Pass You By, and we'll come right back with Across the Dawn. Hey, it's Bill. If you are just tuning in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, co-hosting with me tonight is John, the American Hilljack Lane, and we've been talking to Across the Dawn. You just heard their title track, and I really don't want to botch the name of it, which is why I avoided saying it earlier. One of you guys want to say it for me?
Amaranth.
Amaranth. Okay. And we also heard from the Borstal Boys and their track, Don't Let Life Pass You By. See, I can't even say that. So we're going to get right back into the questions, and I tried to get John to ask this one, but he couldn't. That's how far we'll get into that explanation. So if only one of your songs survives in an apocalyptic episode, which song would the new world listen to as it rebuilds itself?
I'd like to say Zero Gravity. And the reason for that song is it's super powerful. It kind of gives you an post-apocalyptic vibe. The song, you know, it talks about just emptiness, the world shattered, you know, some of the lyrics, it just says, you know, like, you know, you're wondering where have I gone? This burning silence, dead and endless, overtaking me, far from the planet, lost and distant, zero gravity. You know, it's just, you're out there isolated, alone, you know, and, get the album, get a hold of the lyrics, get to check it out. I mean, that song really just vividly paints the picture of, you know, just a dead and empty space. So I'd say that song for sure. It definitely hits too, man. That song definitely has some power.
So it fits the question perfectly.
Hell yeah.
That's one I sent you actually, Bill.
Yes.
We also opened our CD release show with that song as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was really powerful, like, because I feel like the audience was kind of just waiting. The song opens up with a loop that goes like electronic loop, and then it's kind of like a waiting, and then it just comes in with everyone's off their feet.
There's another line in that song. It's so cool, man. It goes, a highway of shadow, a dead galaxy, disintegrating into nothing. There's no direction. There is no way. Lifeless and hollow, a world away. That's like hitting it on the nose for an apocalypse for me, man. I mean, out of all our songs, I'd say that's the breadwinner right there.
I should mention that both the tracks that you guys have talked about are...
Yeah,
are available on Build the Scene's radio station, buildthescene.com/radio. And if you are a fan of Across the Dawn, or if you just want to hear the second track, you can make a request. So it's there if you would like to hear it. Okay, John, you're up, I think, if you're still there.
I'm still here. Hey, guys, what's the one thing you love about the Pittsburgh music scene?
We love about the Pittsburgh music scene is how everybody is working together. I mean, since we started you know, playing out and meeting so many people with this band, there've been so many great people and support, like Highway Louie. They've been supporting us so much. Friends in Sundown. I mean,
both of those bands are recent guests on this show.
Yes. And I listened to them. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I love most, is just working together, doing it together. I mean, we all have different sounds, and it's just amazing, like, the talent that is offered around here. And that's one of the things that I love best about doing this, is just all the great people that we get to meet and the connections we make.
I'd like to put something into this as well. We actually were just talking with another band, All in Uniform, that have been around since we were in high school back in 2004-ish time. But we were talking about, for an example, last night their drummer was out of town, so they ended up playing an acoustic show. I contacted them the night before and was like, hey, you know, my drums are going to be set up. Do you guys want me to sing? Previously, we never practiced or anything, and the lead singer was like, well, you know, he's like, let's practice, you know, and then we'll stick with the acoustic since we already practiced acoustic. next time we can do it. So we came up with this idea to where us as Across the Dawn is going to, like, and I don't know if we're all going to do it or what. The idea at first was just for me to learn their songs and then for their drummer to play, to learn our songs, just in case one of us is out of town, we can keep our shows going live. So that's what's kind of like when you talk about the Pittsburgh music scene, you know, like our local area and their local area, like that's the kind of stuff that, you know, we're not out here trying to be like, oh, I'm better than you, I'm better than you. We're out here working together, you know, keeping music alive.
That is very awesome. Guys like you are what I like to call pro, positive, real, and original. You know, and that's great.
It took you almost halfway through the show to get that in there.
It took me two shows. I didn't say that at all. Last week.
That's the tagline for his
the American Hell Jack Pro Series.
Yeah. APROradio.com. See, now I...
I got you to frog me. I got you to pet me. It's the Jedi mind trick. The Sid Jedi mind trick.
Okay, you're gonna ask are you going to ask the second half of the question, John?
Yes. What is one of the bad things, you know, one bad thing that you like about the music scene? Well, that if you
can I take change, this one, guys?
Yeah, if you could change it and make it better, something really drives you, that gets you under your skin. Bill has hate, but I don't like that word. So
okay. I got this one. Okay. So there is companies out there, and don't get me wrong, there's some that might be good, but there's companies out there that I basically call it the battle of ticket sales. And what these companies do is...
He didn't even listen to my show, Bill. Go ahead.
They're greedy. And they're a business, and they don't care about music. We played a show in Pittsburgh at Rec Theater. I can't even remember the name. I'm not going to drop their name, but there's multiple of these companies, I believe, out there, and they need to be gone because they're part of the corruption in music. But basically, what they do is they get all these local bands make it sound like it's a great opportunity for them, and they make them sell all these tickets. And they have these shows you go and play. Well, for an example, this show we played at Rex Theater, we went and sold tickets. You know, we had these people that were coming for an hour drive to get clear up, you know, to in the Pittsburgh, because some of our fans are outside of Pittsburgh. So we sold these tickets for the show for them to come there. We get there, they overbooked. They had way too many bands there, first of all. They didn't market the show well.
Have you stopped 1 second? Because, you know, more bands are selling tickets means more money in their pocket. But go ahead.
Exactly. So that's all they care about. They don't care. They didn't market the show at all. Like they didn't. Like, I felt like their advertisement was pathetic. They just wanted the bands to do all the work. Well, and then
they advertised on Facebook, didn't they? They advertised on Facebook, so they did for free. Man.
Yeah,
for free.
Yeah, an unpaid post on Facebook might have been the only thing they did. But here's the thing that really threw, like, we actually, some of our members were going to leave. This is how bad this was. So we were about to play, and they told us that we were playing an hour earlier than we were supposed to. Our fans weren't even there because they thought we were playing at a certain time. And we ended up playing, and our lead singer, Josh, he's not necessarily a controversial person to, like, call someone out. But he stood on that stage that night, and he knew how disgusted we were. And he literally – he put his fingers up and said, you know, screw you guys. Like, we're never – like, we're out of this. Don't ever expect to see us. And I hope – and every one of those bands in there were clapping their hands because we, like, stood ground and said, quit this. You know, quit this crap. You know, like, we're all here working hard, and you're basically using our talent to make money. You know, so –
And that's become a very sad element to what's killing the on-site local music scene, or just the local music scene as a whole. There's a lot of situations like you're discussing. It's very frustrating for someone who is, you know, wanting to display their art and you know, trying to play the game by the game's rules. But, you know, when you're basically just, you know, using those rules to put money in your pocket and not really give anything back to the bands that are actually bringing the people there, it's pretty disgusting. It's really disgusting.
Yeah.
John did a two-hour episode on that.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
On the PA Rock Show.
That's right.
I gotta listen to that. And real quick, I wanted to add something to that. On the flip side,
I've seen entertainment companies coming in, and companies that actually care about setting up real shows. And, you know,
there are far few and in between. There are few good companies. And so let's not, put everybody underneath the bus. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And we will gladly sell tickets for an actual show that the company, would care about, and that where it benefits everybody and it's in everybody's best interest. But yeah, that situation there was bad. And, you know, every band goes through a bad situation like that. So we made the decision to avoid that. And, we know what we need to do now. So,
yeah.
Great. I commend you guys for making a stand. For all you out there listening, sometimes making a stand is a good thing if you're done in a positive way. And sometimes you can't always be positive, you got to do what you got to do, because, you know, this business is about trying to stick together as a unit with the other musicians, because us against them, unfortunately, even though now I'm kind of one of them.
Yeah. Okay, guys, I'm going to throw a curveball at you on this next question. So I want to know about an embarrassing moment that happened on stage, but you can't tell me about your own embarrassing moment. You have to tell me about how someone else in the band embarrassed you while you're on stage.
Oh, Jesus. God. This is every time.
Yeah, one boy. That's all we talk about. We were so good at trolling each other and never letting each other live it down. So we got a couple of these.
Well, here's your chance to let everybody know.
Sean, one show I can't remember, but I thought Sean was just like really rocking out. He was down on the floor. I had no idea the poor guy fell.
Yeah, we thought he was getting down. He was like, "No,
I got caught on
my guitar cable and fell over."
No, I stepped on Josh's ankle while Josh is in mid scream, and I'm not going to let the main guy go down. So I took the fall, laid on my back, and played the rest of the riff out on my back, and then magically somehow flipped over on my knees and was able to stand up without using my hands while the whole time riffing. So it was like, it's pretty finesse, man.
That's a legendary story that has to be, has to be put somewhere, not just here.
He played it off so well. We were all not knowing what was going on.
Okay. Well, Smitty, he has to, he's got a click track in his ear, because we use timing and stuff for our loops to come in at the right time. And every now and again, unbeknownst to the crowd, we will get out of time, things will happen, and it can be a complete meltdown. But Smitty's, qualified enough to know when to hit stop on the loop to make sure that we're not halfway into a chorus and then some crazy shit goes on and we're way out of time with it, so sounds good. Anyway, his batteries died one time and his
in the click track.
I even asked
this complete meltdown and we're all looking at Smitty like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "My batteries died." And then he's like, "It's Josh's fault for not checking my batteries in my thing." And then yeah, I got
a drummer the blame shifts. I'm shocked.
Our drummer's
a robot and his batteries died, so we can't play this song right now.
Okay, so I did blame my lead guitarist for this. I did do it, at the beginning of the show when I'm setting up my drums, Josh said something.
It's your fault, in-ear monitors. You can't talk.
And I looked at Josh and I go, "Josh, are these new batteries?" And he looked at me and goes, "Yeah." And like it was like the first song in. Like I'm playing, and it's like I'm like, "What? I can't hear anything." And so the in-ears, mind you, you can't, they're noise canceling, so I can barely hear the band. I'm pulling my earplugs out. They're all looking back at me like, what the hell are you doing, man?
What are you doing?
I'm like, "What do you mean, what am I doing?" I was like, "That battery died in 15 seconds.
Yeah, so, now we have that song Zero Gravity. We just call it Zero Batteries. So I'm pretty sure that was the song it happened on.
Nice.
I think most of our trolling goes on with getting to practice on time. So basically, we always keep a non-going list of excuses that anyone makes, and sometimes it's legit.
But for an example, our guitar player, Sean, one time was late for work. And, not late for work. Late for practice.
Well, I mean, it's kind of work.
But so he's late, and we're all like, man, where's he at, man? And so he messaged us and said he was bike riding. And I guess his chain broke while he was bike riding. And that was his reason. So anytime I was late after that, I'm like, sorry, guys, my chain broke. You know, like I would always just throw that out there. Like, and it's like a list of that kind of stuff is ongoing with us, just like random like trolling and stuff that's constantly going on. Like we can never be serious. Like for an example, Josh, just this past week we're in practice, and he was like telling, he was just getting really serious about, you know, just something he was saying, and we instantly just made it like, you know, like childhood humor. Like, you know, we all just were like, yeah, I forget exactly what we said, but I'm also trying to keep this.
That leads into our next question. This is perfect. What is the one thing about you that your fans and our listeners will be surprised to learn about? What's the one thing? Yeah,
Mike.
Oh my goodness.
Well, tell them about your project, Mike. Your other project that you do.
I'm in a rap group as well, called Scario Brothers. We do like video game based rap music, but
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's some wild stuff, man. It's just two guys in the garage drinking a bunch of beer and reminiscing about their 8-bit obsession. Me and my buddy are both like big time nostalgic gamers. We both have over 100 old gray cart NES cartridges. So
you're real old school. I like that.
Oh yeah, man, come over sometime. We'll hang out in the basement and play on the old tube TVs.
You guys have insurance, right? You're inviting the Hilljack to your place. You guys do have insurance, right?
Oh yeah,
we have a bucket of water.
Yeah. That'll work.
When we're off the air, I'm going to tell you guys a story about Islin with him.
But yeah, I guess like everybody would just be shocked by how like weird and different we all are, and like Justin's a photographer, Sean's like a crazy outdoor guy, and like Josh is into martial arts and stuff. We all have like weird off the beat stuff.
But yeah. You guys seem to pull it together so well. The track that Bill sent me to listen to, being, you know, a lot of the influences from, I'm old, you know, some of the guys you mentioned, Pink Floyd and stuff like that. I can hear different elements of things like that in your songs.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, very, you know, to take the different influences that you have and different ways that you are and put into a focused musical expression like that is, you know, very commendable, very rare nowadays.
If you take five fingers and ball them together, you get a fist, and that hits harder than anything, you know.
Yes.
So you get that big, powerful sound, and it just punches through the speakers, and it grabs you, and you can't help but hear it.
Right.
How long have you been sitting on that answer?
I just dreamed that up, buddy.
He's had his fist in his ass for the last 25 minutes. He's
That's why they call me the puppet master.
That was awesome. Okay, guys, lastly, what's coming up for Across the Dawn?
You know, we're going to be releasing new videos, new singles. We're going to play some shows. We're going to really just put our album out there, put ourselves out there. In the meantime, we're going to be writing a new album. So going to keep going.
I think another good drive with our band, what keeps Across the Dawn going and what's in for our future of more of us, is the fact that a lot of the music that we put out has been music that has been written kind of for a long time now. So I'm very interested to hear exactly what we're going to be creating in the future. You know, is the sound going to kind of complement the music that we have now? You know, or are we going to have more of a, you know, like our direction is kind of unknown right now. So, but all the new music that's going to be heard from us.
Sometimes it's the most exciting times in the band is to have that, you know, that creative space where you guys, you know, discover that next step.
And that's where we're at right now. We put a lot of effort and time into the album. So now our concentration is going to be in the writing. So, especially like at our show, we played a few new songs, and people were really excited about. So I think a lot of our fans are excited to hear, what's up and coming.
Yeah. And you guys are going to love how we actually recorded this album. So just something I want to add real quick. The guy that we used to play drums with in a previous band, his name is Derek. He lives out in Illinois. And Derek Showman, if you hear this, thank you for everything you've done, buddy. But anyways, a lot of these songs were written over the internet with the drums. And one weekend, I drove out to Chicago by myself, and we recorded the drums to several of the songs. And then, we came back and got Justin in the band, and he finished up the album. But it was like the sound of the album is so diverse with every song. It reflects on the entire recording process and the whole time span that we went through. So it's very interesting.
So for you listening to it, you can take yourself to each one of those moments. Those are some of the greatest memories that for us musicians, for our listeners that aren't musicians, when we can sit back and listen to our art, it opens up more things inside of us about what happened. Yeah. And I think that's what you're trying to get at.
Absolutely.
I do have one more question for you guys. So I kind of took a back seat in this episode and let John take the lead. You do see that he should be doing this, right?
Absolutely.
Both of you guys are doing great.
Yeah, I'd say Bill gives me way too much credit. Bill gives me way too much credit. He was the inspiration that, got me out of my own element that I was in at the time and put me towards doing things like this. And he does a very good job for the local music scene, let alone, the music scene that's spreading across the United States. And I want to thank Bill Damiano for all he does.
I wasn't really looking for you to do that. I'm trying to push you some more.
Yeah, Johnny.
Look for me.
Deflecting, Johnny.
Bring it back.
Bring it back. Let the stallion loose, bud.
Well, I thank you. I thank you for the compliments, and I hope that, in the near future, the American Hilljack Files will be back on air, and I hope that Bill Damiano will be on there with me, holding my hand and getting me through the first couple of months.
I'll be on the show with you, but I don't know about that hand holding thing.
No one wants to cuddle anymore. It's just wrong.
I'm going to forewarn you guys, if he does show up at your house, he loves to kiss.
It's a hug and a kiss. It's a hug and a kiss on a cheek.
We already got a guy.
Hug and a kiss on a cheek.
And we'll get
he was actually it. At our show. Our old bass player. He'd come over with a 12-pack of beer no one ever heard of. And the time that he's on beer 8 or 9, he's trying to kiss us and stuff. We're like, dude, stop.
He'll treat you like Pappy Le Pew.
I'm going to cut you guys off just for a moment. I'm going to do my outro. Don't hang up.
Okay.
This has been episode number 466 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight co-hosting was John the American Hilljack Lane, and the band that we featured was Across the Dawn. You can find them at acrossthedawn.com. We'll see you next week. And of course, I'm not prepared again. John, do you happen to know who's on my show next week?
I honestly don't know, Bill. I think you did mention it to me, but I've been so, engrossed in everything that I'm doing for the Island Community Park and, the Hellfire Club and everything that's been going on in my own life. I think I let it slip my mind.
Hey, I found it. So on June 14th, we will have Neo Stem. On the 21st, will be the Justin Wade Band. Then we're going to jump ahead to July. July 12th, the Crucible Project will be on. That is... I guess you call them almost like a promoter, but they do shows at Mr. Smalls in the what's the smaller stage called? I can't think of the name of it.
The Funhouse.
Yes.
Yeah. They're great.
And then on July 26th, Danny Goat. I'm gonna mess his name up. Gauchnauer. I'm gonna have to ask him when he's on how to pronounce it. He is the lead guitarist from the House Rockers, as in Joe Grushecki in the House Rockers. That was just solidified tonight. I'm kind of excited about that one. Not that I'm not excited about every show, but I'm excited about that one.
Your enthusiasm always shines through, Bill, no matter who's on your show.
Thanks, John. All right, so with that, we will see you next week with NeoSTEM.
Your eyes.